of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
This is the best of Battlefield Expressions.
Good morning, you're listening to Battlefield Expressions. This is Team Chief Ron Burroughs, United States Navy Seabees, retired to combat tours in Iraq. And I'd like to welcome you to our second weekend in the year 2020. And we are looking to some fantastic things going on in 2020 for the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center and the subsequent nonprofits that we also have through the museum program. And those programs are Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services, Silver Star Veterans and Widows Programs, and WarmaVet. And we just finished our Christmas for the Troops program. We're involved in all kinds of things that are taking care of our troops and our military personnel, from our youngest troops coming back from the post-9/11 Global War on Terror, the GWAT. And Global War on Terror is what we call it. It's called GWAT is our short abbreviation of it. And then also making sure that we help take care of our senior veterans and widows here in our community through Silver Star Veterans and Widows Program. And what a great opportunity we have had at the close of 2019 to be able to help so many veterans and their families. At Thanksgiving, we were able to feed about 45 families and veterans that were in need with Thanksgiving meals. And at Christmas time, it was a little over 55 families in our Northern California area. I mean, from Tehama County north into our Shasta and also Trinity and to Lassen counties, we had individual veterans and families that were in need of food and some clothing and support during that time frame. It can be a really difficult time for our military families and sometimes single veterans and their widows at Christmas because of the loss of loved ones. It can form depression. It can bring disparity into their lives. And so we are grateful and thankful to be a part of the solution in our Northern California area and to help support these individuals that are in need. And so those names are brought to us. We're working with the VA here in our area, and they have individuals that they work with on a regular basis that are in need, and we work with them through those programs. And so we are thankful with our programs to be able to give back to our community. One of the terms that we use is occio domio, and that is Latin for building up the house or edifying people or building people in our community. And that is part of occio domio represents our Homeward Bound Military Family Support Program and our Silver Star Veterans and Widows Program. And what a great opportunity it is for us to help make sure that those who have served our nation faithfully and those who have come back into our communities and been strong individuals in our community as veterans and citizens in our community to help say thank you to them. Once again, when I came back from Iraq, I was the Northern California Funeral Director Honors for the United States Navy out at the Igo Veterans Cemetery. And during that time frame, it really helped me with my PTSD, getting back into coming back from the war zone, dealing with the stress there and the loss of life from personnel that I served with, and then forcing me to look into the eyes of military families and to present that flag to them on one knee as we presented it for a grateful nation for that individual, that man or woman who served in our United States military, and to honor them as we presented it to the loved one, whether it was a wife, a husband, sons, daughters, children. I presented flags to kids for their father or mother who passed away. And those were some of the most difficult, taking a flag and kneeling and presenting that flag to that family member. during that time frame, working with the Team 6, the Northern California National Guard unit that was out there, a wonderful group of men and women who served this community strongly, silently. You never knew that they were there, but they were there doing a strong job, just as the Navy and the other units were out there. And we were able to present these flags to these individuals during my time frame from 2008. Actually, it was the end of 2007, September 11th of 2007, all the way to March of 2013. I had the privilege and the honor of presenting over 2,000 folded flags to military personnel and to their families who served our nation faithfully. And we had the opportunity to experience what those needs were. And so because of those needs and talking to people and the families after that loved one was passed, and what do we do with our mom? We don't know what the benefits are. What do we do with this or that? And so I was asked, because I was already working with veterans, with the Veterans Museum, to find out what were some of the benefits? What were some of the ways that they could help these elderly men and women who were left behind, and if there were any benefits left for them? And so we started a Silver Star Veterans and Widows program to work with the Veterans Service Office and other organizations in our community to be able to help support those senior veterans, especially those that were left after their loved one, their veteran, had passed away. And so the Northern California Veterans Museum, through the Heritage Center portion, Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, the Heritage Center portion covers all of these other nonprofit organizations that we have under that umbrella. So that covers the Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services. It covers the Silver Star Veterans and Widows. It covers our Warm a Vet program, our Christmas for the Troops. And we just shipped out 450 boxes right there, right before Christmas. And we just got a letter back from there in Kuwait from a transient station where men and women, their units come in. They stay for a couple of days or even a week or two. And then from there, they're deployed into Iraq, into areas where they're needed, whether it be northern or southern, whatever their duties are during that time frame. And we called it the ROC at Ali Al Salim Air Base. And it's no secret. That's a major point for our American forces coming in and out of Kuwait. And I served there and then went ahead into Iraq, where we did convoys in Fallujah and Baghdad and Al-Qaeda and all Al-Assad, the air base that just took all the 15 missiles. I served there. That's where our headquarters were for our Naval Mobile Construction Battalion 18. Been there, done that. And so I know all about that airfield, and I know where our facilities were and where those missiles fell all around that area. We convoyed in and out of that area multiple times from Baghdad and Fallujah. And so where these rockets were, I can close my eyes and look back in my mind's eye at the airbase where it was and where we convoyed through and where the streets were and where our base was located. And I can see in my mind's eye where those missiles had fallen and where they had done the destruction. And we want to make sure that we remember, as we've had over 5,000 military personnel deployed overseas in the last 2 weeks because of this Iranian crisis, so-called crisis that is there, we want to make sure that we remember those men and women as we move forward. Homeward Bound is going to continue to bring in items to ship packages overseas. Our goal is to continue to bring those items. We have more family members that have requested boxes to be shipped overseas. And so here at the end of February, as these individuals find their location, they finally get to their place in Iraq where they're going to be located, and we get those permanent addresses, then we can go ahead and start shipping those boxes. And if you're interested in helping support that program, whether you'd like to sponsor a package for about $20 it costs us to ship that box overseas, or if you'd like to supply us with non-perishable food items to put in those boxes to ship them, the mission continues, and we're going to continue to support our veterans. The letter we got from the chaplain there at the ROC at Ali Al Salim in Kuwait was just he thanked us profusely for the items that we sent them, because they put them all in one area, and as the men and women come through deploying and they don't have certain items, those items that we had sent, they're using those items to supplement what they have as they deploy forward into the combat zone. And so, men and women, you are making that difference around the world. We'll be right back.
That doesn't happen to men.
It's not just a woman's issue.
It only happened once.
I will intervene.
But he's such a nice guy.
We will look out for each other.
What did she think would happen?
I will step in.
It's just the way people are.
It's on us to change the future for our children. We will change the culture.
Get involved. One safe place. OSPShasta.org/change the culture.
Redding Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
I'm Carlene Niver, and I have some exciting news about my restaurant, Deja Vu, voted best breakfast. We are now serving beer and wine to complement your experience with us. Try one of our many flavors of mimosas, or try one of our new delicious creations, like Morning Sunshine, our version of a screwdriver. For our coffee lovers, we are known for our cozy atmosphere with a mixture of traditional and specialty drinks. I invite you to start your day with us, whether you are craving breakfast or lunch. Located in the historic Lorenz Hotel in the heart of downtown Redding, on California Street, open 7 days a week from 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. We look forward to seeing you soon.
Welcome to the Year of the Bear, Black Bear Diner's year-long 25th anniversary celebration. Black Bear Diner first started serving up bear-sized portions of family favorites in 1995, and they are marketing this milestone with a year of tasty specials, fun celebrations, and a continued commitment to give back to the community. Stay tuned and be sure to stop by the Black Bear Diner on Hilltop Drive in Cypress and Redding all year long. And help us celebrate 25 years of
Black Bear Diner.
Alan Gordon here, Coastmaster Collision. In our 50 years in business, we've met many interesting people. One customer complained the car pulled hard to the right. When I inspected the car, I noticed a small bag of rocks tied to the left side of her steering wheel. The customer stated that on long trips, the rocks would counteract the pull. Problem solved. Only temporarily, though. The pull was easily repaired with suspension adjustments and a wheel alignment. Despite being told by another shop the vehicle had major frame problems, having confidence and trust in the professionalism of who is repairing your vehicle is sometimes the greatest struggle. When this customer has a problem with a car, she calls Coachmaster. If the issue isn't our specialty, I'm glad to recommend the best qualified company. After all, this is my customer. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on East Side Road, serving the Redding community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Orchard Nutrition Center asks, what does it mean to be local?
It's the Little League baseball team. It's a smile and a wave from a neighbor you've known for years, helping out a stranger just because it's the right thing to do.
It's a lot like Orchard Nutrition Center, caring about the people and the community that you call home.
Orchard Nutrition Center, since 1982.
We're all in it together.
This is the best of Battlefield Expressions.
I knew a man called him Sandy Kane. You folks even knew his name. But a hero, yes, was he. Left boy, came back a man. Still many just don't understand about the reasons we are free. I can't forget the look in his eyes or the tears he cried. Said these words to me. All gave some gave all.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. This is Senior Chief Rob Burrows. I am your host this morning. You're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio show. If you'd like to call in this morning as we're listening and talking about military service, with the commitment that men and women have to serve this nation, this country, to going into the battlefield, and against all odds, they serve their country, they put their lives on the line. The phone number this morning is 605-4567. If you'd like to call in this morning, that's 605-4567. We're talking about our men and women who have deployed, several thousand of them at this time, who are there in the Middle East, on the Jordanian and the Syrian borders, there in Iraq, The Turkish borders, they're in Kuwait, Saudi Arabia. They're all throughout the Middle East, our men and women serving our nation, serving you and I today. They are there so that we can be here at home. And fortunately, right now, we have a president that supports our military. I am so grateful and thankful for that. I have served presidents who have not served our military, who have not cared about our military before. During the Clinton administration, it was a very difficult time when we were in the military. Cutbacks and morale issues and things like that, because men and women knew that we did not have the support. And so many left the service during that time frame. Why should we serve when our country doesn't represent us? But I didn't leave during that time frame, because my attitude was, I joined to serve. I don't care who the president is. The president's going to be in there for 4 years or 8 years. I was in for the long haul. I was serving my community. I was serving my family. I was serving for the heritage of my father, who served during World War II, and my brother, who served during Vietnam. That's why I was serving. Regardless of who the president was, I was there to serve my nation. And if everybody just said, you know what, I don't like the leader, I'm just leaving, well, where would we be? I mean, that's part of having a moral compass. That's part of having honor, courage, and commitment. That's part of being committed to the task that is set at our hand, whether we like it or not. Nobody wants to just go out and die, but nobody wants to go out and die for something they don't believe in. That's why it's so important for us to remember and to remind our men and women who wear the uniform how important it is for the service that they have. We want to remind you that this segment of our program is brought to you by Foster's Brunch Hog Service, locally owned and insured, giving veterans and elderly discounts, specializing in fire compliance services and fire breaks, after storm cleanup, and removal of waste left from transients. It's amazing that we have to even say that particular term, cleaning up the waste from transients in our communities. But Foster's Brush Hog, Keith Foster, his father's a Navy veteran from Korea, Korean War veteran, so we want to say thank you to Keith and his team. If you'd like more information for them doing their services in your community for cleanup, they have tractor services, they do long brush care and things like that. Their phone number is, I'm sorry, I dropped it here, 440-9531. Brush Hog Service, Foster's Brush Hog Service, 440-9531. We'd like you to support the individuals who support our veterans in our community. And Keith is one of those individuals, and he will give you a discount if you're a veteran. So we obviously want to continue to support those who support our veterans in our community. I want to talk a little bit about the ethos of our men and women. And when they serve and when they come home, they continue to serve. You know, you're likely familiar with the ways that Americans give back to our veterans in our communities. But did you know that veterans are among the most active volunteers working to improve communities across our nation? Data from a 2017 Veterans Civic Health Index reported and revealed that veterans are more likely than non-veterans to volunteer with their neighbors to fix problems in their communities. Last year, veterans volunteered an average of 169 hours of their time compared to an average of 126 hours spent by volunteering by non-veterans. And let me remind you, you're not looking at 50-50. You're not looking at apples and apples, oranges and oranges. It's apples and oranges, because only less than 1% of all military personnel serve our nation. Out of our entire population, out of 100% of our population, less than 1% serve our nation in a military role. So when you come back and you talk about individuals in our community that continue to serve after they come back off of services, that shows you that it's, once again, it's one out of 100 that serves in our community as a military veteran. And there's more individuals as military veterans serving our community than there are non-military veterans. More than 10% of veterans work with their neighbors to fix problems in their community, compared to just 8% of non-veterans. The military teaches us the value of purpose and the importance of principles. And it is so important for us to, as military personnel, that gives us a sense of belonging. That gives us a sense of being part of something greater and bigger than ourselves. I'm just going to finish this article real quick, and then we have a caller. There are tons of issues in our communities right now in our country where we should be uniting to come together with solutions. Our veterans are going to be the leaders in those communities. They're the ones to step up after the fact and make things work. Volunteering is a two-way street. And while there are many ways the veterans benefit from the work of volunteers, communities nationwide benefit greatly from the dedication and dedicated military personnel in the ongoing service of veterans and military families. veterans are engaged when they come back. They're looking to be a part of something bigger than themselves. They're not with their military personnel that they served with anymore. So they're continuing to look for the opportunity. With Homeward Bound, one of the programs that we have, Homeward Bound continues to help veterans reconnect with both the communities and with themselves through our programs. And that's one of the reasons that I started Homeward Bound as the founder of Homeward Bound is we had military personnel coming back. We had moms and dads coming in the museum saying, my young daughter, my son, they're not engaging. They're not going back to work. They're not going back to school. They're vegetating in their rooms. We don't know what to do about it. And so Homeward Bound was a program that we started here underneath the Northern California Veterans Museum to help our younger veterans, post-9/11 veterans, to be able to take care of this. Because of whatever it was in the military that that you were, as we're talking with like a sergeant first class or a private, even your name, because of the military, we go back to our last name or our nickname. You're no longer connected with that. They called you like my name. They called you Burroughs or they called you Chief or whatever your position was. When you come home, that's no longer a part of it. You go back to a nickname or a first name. You miss that camaraderie and how that was set up. The sentiment is echoed by many other veterans who find that volunteer service gives them renewed purpose as they transition back to civilian life. All of us have the sense of wanting to be a part of something bigger than ourselves as part of the veterans discussion. In addition to connecting with their community, veterans are able to connect with other veterans through volunteer services. For example, Homeward Bound works with returning vets who struggle with their mental health and finding employment and work to help raise awareness about veteran suicide. If you weren't aware, we still have an issue with veterans, 21 veterans a day, 22 veterans a day committing suicide. So we need to be able to reach out to those individuals and make sure that they know that they're supported and they're honored in our community. We're not going to allow them to fall through the cracks after they have served our nation faithfully. And so it's so important for us to continue to make sure that our veterans are engaged and interested in volunteer service. And so we encourage them to work with nonprofits and other volunteer organizations who are leveraging the hard work and ethics and tactical organization skills gained through the military service. Veterans can become service leaders in our community, and many do. We want to continue to support those veterans to come back after serving their nation and lead in our community as leaders, whether it be civic or in organizational status or in businesses. And so we're bringing this information to you to make sure that you understand how important it is for our veterans to be a positive role model in our community after serving around the world protecting our freedom. And we have a caller, Ron.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Okay. Just recently I saw another veteran wearing a hat, and it said Veterans for Trump. And I'd like to know if I could – who has those? I'd like one. So – if you know where I can get one, or maybe somebody listening in your audience knows where I can get one, I appreciate calling you or somebody and let me know how I can get one.
And, Ron, you're a veteran yourself.
Yes, sir, I am.
And what branch of service did you serve in?
I was in the Navy.
Well, thank you for your service. We appreciate your support for our nation and coming back in our community. I will put I'll put a request out for that. If anybody that's listening has heard or seen of a hat out there that says Veterans for Trump, please contact me here at the radio station. Or you can contact the museum office at 378-2280. That's 378-2280. This is a non-political program, but we want to make sure that if a veteran's looking for something, that we can help support them in that endeavor. So thank you for your call, Ron.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. So once again, we're talking about our veterans who have served their nation and have come back and served in our communities. And we want to make sure that our listeners out there know that we have so many veterans that serve in our community that you don't know about. Our veterans come back, they do their job, they do the work that they have to do for our nation, then they come back and then they serve quietly. They kind of melt back into our society. They don't really brag about where they were or what they've done. And so it is so important for us to make sure that we honor those. We'll be right back.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now. A lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvie with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
Our casino relocation project will simulate new housing and improve existing housing. Job growth from our project will provide the income necessary for families to purchase homes in the local community. Developers will meet the local housing demand by increasing the supply of new homes. In fact, Palomar Homes recently announced plans for 2,000 new homes in Redding. Our project, it is part of the solution, and it will fill these new homes. Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert like Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name. Knowing that lending decisions are made locally by people you call neighbor or serve alongside when supporting a worthy cause. There's confidence in knowing that when you place your trust in Cornerstone Community Bank, you not only help yourself, you support the town you call home. Stop by one of our Redding or Red Bluff branches or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank. We invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
This is the best of Battlefield Expressions.
Battlefield Expressions, and there is a motivational song for our men and women who are serving. I'm sure that some of them are listening to that right now as they prepare to do the duty that they have to do. I know that when we prepared to step out on convoy missions against the Iraqi insurgents, that there was times that certain music was played in order to rev your engine and to keep you motivated and keep you moving forward and take your mind off the threat of death, the threat of the enemy attack upon the convoys as we moved out through the nights and the dark. And there are many times that it wasn't a song like that, but there were other songs that we played that were motivational, including Highway to the Danger Zone, the one we played for this program. And so a lot of time that evokes emotion. It evokes that camaraderie. It evokes people coming together. It evokes the strong personalities uniting to come together as a team to fight the enemy instead of each other. It's really easy for different attitudes in a unit to clash. Very easy, because you have strong, motivated individuals who want to accomplish a task, and sometimes those attitudes and personalities rub strong and hard against each other. And as a chief, and I had 25 men that I was in charge of as a combat team, I had to constantly reel those individuals in and bring them back to the team mentality, the team effort, one team, one fight, one goal. And so at times it was very difficult to realize that, especially at the very beginning when we were training and trying to get everybody on the same page. But as we went outside the wire and we faced the enemy and IEDs and enemy fire, tracer fire coming through our convoys, and dealing with just the aspect of the enemy. I mean, our first 6 months, we were in, actually between August and Christmas of 2006, we witnessed over 300 IED explosions and detonations outside the wire. And so that's pretty tough when you're in a combat situation. We just got to the point where we stopped counting. Because it was horrific during that time. We were just lucky to come home every single mission and be inside the wire. It's a very difficult time. One of the things that holds a unit together is the ethics of that unit. Every branch of service has their different code that they follow and that they work with. And so we're going to talk about some core values in the Department of Defense, the core values of our military that help bring them together to help keep them focused through the toughest and darkest times. And it starts when you're training, as you're in boot camp, and from there it's formulated in your unit that you go to. And every branch of service is a little bit different, but the arrow points the same direction in all branches. And that is the positive factor of working together as a unit. And these core values help to form a moral compass. And that moral compass stays with you throughout your service and then in your civilian life after you leave. Core values are unchanging fundamental principles that guide how people in the military will conduct their everyday business or their lives. Core values do not require external justification. They are the internal structure that underlies interactions among its members and that guides the strategies that the military will employ to fulfill its missions. Ultimately, they motivate how the military works and give a shared identity to people belonging to it. Core values are leadership, their professionalism, and technical knowledge and know-how. However, the military also places particular emphasis on the special core values that everyone in uniform must live by. Duty, integrity, ethics, honor, courage, and loyalty. Although these core values and statements indicate that the uniformed military members share a common set of core values, each services identify and is reflected in its own uniquely defined core values, which serve as a common ground for all military members. For example, Marine Corps core values form the bedrock of the Marine character. Semper Fi. The core values of the Department of Defense and the services. For the Department of Defense, the core values are duty, integrity, ethics, honor, courage, and loyalty. The Air Force, integrity first, service before self, and excellence in all we do. The Army, loyalty, duty, respect, selfless service, honor, integrity, and personal courage. The Coast Guard, honor, respect, and devotion to duty. And the Navy Marine Corps team, honor, courage, and commitment. These core values provide the common ground shared by all individuals in each of the services. However, individuals also bring their personal characteristics to the organization. This interaction between the common ground and the diversity of individual characteristics determines how an organization or how the military will function. It is so important that as we continue to move forward, that you understand that the military comes together in these core values. That's what sets them aside from civilians. That brings them focus to what the duty is and what needs to be taking place during that duty. Core values, in summary, provide a strong organizational identity in the United States military. In addition to providing a shared identity, core values govern how people interact within the military and guide the actions of individuals. Both factors shape the role of diversity for mission effectiveness. While the military provides an umbrella set of core values for uniformed personnel, each service brings to the table its own identity to form its service-specific core values. And those are the different core values that I just read to you from the Air Force, the Army, the Coast Guard, the Marine Corps, and the Navy. And right now we're going to go ahead and we're going to play a song. It's a fight song. It's for our military personnel that are serving overseas right now.
Like a small boat on the ocean, sending big waves into motion, like how a single word can make a heart open. I might only have one match, but I can make an explosion. And all those things I did.
Once again, you're listening to Battlefield Expressions, and that fight song is for our veterans that are serving overseas right now, but it's also a continuation for our veterans that are here at home. And we want to make sure, you know, when you come back, you're not ready to stop fighting. You're still, you've got that fervor inside you. You have the fire inside of you. You still want to be a part of something that's bigger than you. You miss your buddies. You miss your camaraderie. You miss those that you served with every single day. You miss the jobs and the duty, the excitement. All of those are part of the experience of being in the United States military. And so just a thank you to those who have served at our home. And remember those that are out there serving right now. And we do have an answer for you, Ron. If you're listening, we do have an answer. Jared has the answer for you.
The Veterans for Trump hats. You can find those at Walmart, but if you want to shop online, you can find them on Amazon, eBay. And also, if you go to Donald Trump's website and look for apparel there, you can also find it there.
You should have known that. I should have known that. I mean, if you go to the president's website, I'm sure he's got it right there for him. So then, I hope that answers your question, Ron. Anybody else that has an answer out there, a question about Trump Veterans for Trump hats, so that you can know where to go get those. We'll be right back.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name. Knowing that lending decisions are made locally by people you call neighbor or serve alongside when supporting a worthy cause. There's confidence in knowing that when you place your trust in Cornerstone Community Bank, you not only help yourself, you support the town you call home. Stop by one of our Reading or Red Bluff branches or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank. We invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
Welcome to the Year of the Bear, Black Bear Diner's year-long 25th anniversary celebration. Black Bear Diner first started serving up bear-sized portions of family favorites in 1995, and they are marketing this milestone with a year of tasty specials, fun celebrations, and a continued commitment to give back to the community. Stay tuned and be sure to stop by the Black Bear Diner on Hilltop Drive in Cypress and Reading all year long and help us celebrate 25 years of
Black Bear Diner.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
This is Ted Lighty with the Northern Firearms Instruction Personal Protection Tip of the Day. If you have the ability to park in a garage or carport, do it. Criminals identify dark streets and alleys to target unsuspecting victims who are distracted with loading or unloading packages or children. Another important part of your personal protection plan may be the use of a firearm. If that's the case, give us a call at NFI at 999-1822 or to find and register for one of our popular CCW or other firearm safety courses, visit us online at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Hi, I'm Dan Flynn. I'm the presiding judge at the Shasta County Superior Court. The Superior Court is now accepting applications from those people who wish to serve on the grand jury. To apply and to get additional information, please go to ShastaCountyGrandJury.org.
That's right. Now is your chance to apply. The Shasta County Grand Jury investigates to help ensure transparency and accountability among local governments, officials, and agencies. Visit our website for more information.
Please apply now.
This is the best of Battlefield Expressions.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We kind of lost our last song there. But, hey, you know, we've been talking about core values for our U.S. United States military. We've talked about the ethos and the warrior ethos and why it's so important for our military men and women to come together on the same page and be able to train, fight together. We learned a long time ago that you train like you fight and you fight like you train, because if you don't, when you get into the battle zone and you go to fight like you were trained, if it's not right on, then you're behind the gun. You're behind the curve. And the enemy takes advantage of that. One of the things we wanted to talk about was the moral compass concerning our core values, and not just for our military personnel, but a moral compass for people in our community. Why is it so important for us to be able to have that compass, to able to look in our lives, whether it comes from a family background, a heritage, or a military background, or a religious background? What guides us? What drives us in our community? Since the beginning of civilization, everyone from kings and philosophers to monks and scribes has pondered the concept of what it means to live a good life. How can we know what it means to be a good human? While societal circumstances and expectations continue to evolve, this timeless question remains at the center as to why we try to live a life with true moral and ethical purpose. And here's five reasons we're going to touch on. Number one, ground your identity. Number two, protect the greater good. Number three, increase self-confidence. Number four, be a good role model. And number five, foster healthy relationships. A moral compass helps provide an objective standard to help each of us define and address our ethical and moral weakness. In essence, a moral compass helps us to define what kind of behavior is right or wrong in our lives. For example, without a moral compass, it is more likely that you will make decisions without thinking through consequences of your actions. In addition, you'll likely be tempted to stretch the truth when it benefits you to do so. With a moral compass, you'll find it easier to resist temptation through principle-based decision-making. In words, your choices will be based on values you hold to be true rather than on what's easiest to do in that moment. Nearly 80% of Americans believe that overall moral state of the nation, the United States, is poor or fair. According to recent Gallup poll, in addition, respondents overwhelmingly hold the opinion that Americans are becoming more selfish and dishonest. In fact, 77% of Americans believe the country's overall sense of morality is getting worse. Taking the time to research, define, and adhere to some objective standard for moral and ethical behavior can help each of us do our part to keep the situation from spiraling into further crisis. And once again, I bring this up because being in the United States military with your honor, courage, and commitment, your duty, your service, your selflessness, your sacrifice, these are items that drive your moral compass. These are items that are your true north that help you when you're in the military, when you're faced with life and death. And then when you come home and you're back here in our community and you're making daily decisions. And that's why it's so important for military personnel to support military personnel so that we can continue to strive to encourage this moral compass and these core values that were instilled into us from the very beginning of our boot camp training. If you go as far back as the teachings of Aristotle, a moral compass is simply the benchmark against which you can measure the goodness of your individual actions, your overall life. For Aristotle, the definition of good was fluid. It meant living a life that allows one to flourish as a human being and have few regrets. But obviously, with what we've been talking about today, this definition isn't the same for everyone. It's not the same for the military, for sure. A finely tuned moral compass can provide a set of core values that help guide your decisions throughout your life. Ideally, there's a balance between what is good for you and what is good for society, for our communities as a whole. Although over time, a person's moral compass may evolve as it's shaped by various religious, societal, and experimental forces, it should retain some core principle back to its original foundation, kind of like going back to the foundation of our founders of the Constitution of the United States of our nation, like seeking peace and integrity or causing no harm, for example. The most important part of having a moral compass is using that compass in a moral manner. If we develop a moral compass and then ignore its readings, it does us absolutely no good. And by reading your moral compass, we simply mean logically considering your choice in a given situation, making sure your internal ethics and values square up against the decisions you make. Are they aligned or are they in conflict? And that's a question each of us can ask every single day in our lives. Do we have a moral compass? Is that something that leads us in the decision-making that we do in our community, with our families, with our children? The question comes back to is what do we base the decision-making process in our families or in our daily lives in our community? Or if you're a business owner, those ethics. If you're a civil leader in our community, those ethics are so important because you're set on a pedestal. You're an example in our community. And we would hope that whether you were in the military or you weren't in the military, that you have a moral compass and that you have ethics that will guide you when people vote you into office and you are held accountable to make sure that you're not doing things that are selfishly for yourself in your public office, but that you are doing things for the community and the best effort for those in the community. And sometimes that line can vanish. Sometimes it's misdrawn. Sometimes that can be an issue that is not readily seen. And if an individual is careful, they can gently mold over that line between good and bad and make things seem one way versus the other. There are several kind of benefits to having a well-defined moral compass. Keep reading to find out how sound moral compass and a firm set of beliefs can help you define your value system by providing a foundational guide. Once again, we were talking about item one, which is your ground your identity. If you don't know what you stand for and what your ethics and beliefs are, then it's very difficult to make any moral choices at all, much less good ones. By establishing and following a set of moral values, you provide both yourself and those around you the sense of consistency. You'll be less fickle or capricious when facing moral dilemmas because you can compare to the past situations. With an unwavering moral standard, you can have a sense of absolute rather than relative right or wrong. And I think that's very important for all of us as we live our lives, that we move forward, we have something to reflect upon that gives us that direction, watching that needle in our lives to see exactly where it points and then following that needle or not. You know, if you follow a compass on a map, then that shows you the way to go. Usually it's a good path, because if you go off the other direction of that needle, it could be a cliff and you might find your demise. Same way it is in our lives. Item two, protect the greater good. The greater good is protected by a commitment to moral values, such as justice, kindness, and equity. Treating others with kindness and supporting equitable opportunities for all can help create a more inclusive and empowering society. The more we strive to improve the lives of others, even when they are very different from ours, the more we are able to build a truly moral society. And the more we steer clear of knowingly causing harm to our fellow man, our fellow human beings, the same is true. Those who operate with greater good in mind continually question whether their behavior measures up to the duties and obligations to ourselves. And that's, once again, that comes back to like veterans serving in our community who served in a cog in a greater cause than all of us, serving something that is saving the lives of not just people here in our own United States of America, but all across the world. Freedom means freedom, whether in the United States or you're across the border or whether you're on the other side of the world. Freedom means freedom. And those that don't have freedom and they can't defend themselves and don't know how to do that rely on others like the United States military to help create that freedom through the example of self-sacrifice. Item three is increased self-confidence. People who know where they stand on various moral and ethical issues typically feel a higher sense of self-worth and self-confidence. They feel empowered to act according to that little voice inside their heads that guides them toward right and steers them away from wrongs and poor decision-making. There's substantial evidence that people with strong moral compass feel a higher sense of integrity, which leads to increased feelings of contentment, focus, and grounding on purpose. Through the process of self-inquiry, self-reflection, and personal transformation, often required to effectively recognize and define one's moral compass, you gain a more intimate sense of self, which only serves to increase confidence and self-worth. Number four, be a good role model. Many people begin to think more deeply about their moral compass, personal code, or ethics the moment they begin to task as a parent. Of course, some people take heed to that and others don't. Most people want to be a good role model for their children, hoping to install or instill ethical and moral framework that children need to be happy individuals and productive members of our society. But you don't have to be a parent to be a role model. You can also be a coach, teacher, mentor, a faith community leader, a military retired person, someone who served in a law enforcement or fire department, people who were in leadership positions that continue to follow their moral compass and to be able to teach that and carry that on in tradition. And each of these leadership positions requires you to understand your own values and ethical stances so that you can guide and develop others. That's what mentorship is all about. And number five, foster healthy relationships. People with a strong moral compass typically have healthy relationships to enjoy closer relationships in their families and in those in their community. They are able to minimize harm and maximize positive contributions they make within the society or within their communities or their towns or their businesses. While these people may have a high sense of individualized self, they also can see themselves as part of something bigger that should be nurtured and protected. Some may even argue that the ability to put others' needs in front of your own is what provides the very essence of humanity, which leads to healthier individual relationships and a stronger and a more connected society like right here in our own community. So as we continue our program this morning, I want you to think about the moral compass, about leadership in our community. Do our politicians have a moral compass? Do they have that leadership capability? Do they bring to the table things that are important, that are self-sacrificing? And so we'll be right back.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Former U.S. Senator Tom Coburn has died. Coburn was an Oklahoma family doctor who earned a reputation as a conservative political maverick as he railed against federal earmarks and subsidies for the wealthy, as well as expansion of the deficit and the welfare state. He was also a staunch pro-life advocate. He passed away early this morning at the age of 72. President Trump acknowledges that parts of the country won't be back to normal even after the 15-day period of social distancing.
The federal guidelines in place to reduce the spread of the coronavirus expire next week, and the president hopes the country can return to normal soon. But he acknowledges that certain areas will not be ready.
I certainly want to get it open as soon as possible. I don't want it to be long, but we also want it to open safe. Otherwise, what did we do?
The president says he and top federal officials will meet early next week to discuss possible modifications.
That is White House correspondent Greg Clugston reporting. The president said he would practice social distancing today on a trip to Norfolk, Virginia, to see the Navy hospital ship Comfort deployed to New York City.
It doesn't mean I'm going to be hugging people, and it doesn't mean that I'm going to be shaking people's hands. But
the president said he would make sure and maintain his distance. Federal regulators have approved a rapid test that can detect the coronavirus in just 5 minutes.
The new rapid test comes from Abbott Laboratories, which says it will begin distributing them to some medical facilities next week after receiving emergency clearance from the FDA. It comes as a cartridge that fits into the company's portable ID device used at hospitals, clinics, and doctors' offices. Abbott's test can give a positive reading in 5 minutes and can confirm someone's negative if the virus is not detected in 13 minutes.
That is correspondent Jackie Quinn reporting. More on these stories at townhall.com.
We have reached the age where things just cost more.
Cars, mm-hmm. phones, mm-hmm. life insurance.
Your blood pressure is up.
Your weight is up.
You're one to talk.
I have type 2 diabetes, so I'm getting dinged just like you.
Thank goodness for Big Lou.
Big Lou!
Big Lou can get term life insurance rates for a 50-year-old male with type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, or maybe he's on anxiety meds,
mm-hmm.
for just around $200 a month for $1 million of coverage.
Oh, you got to say that again.
Go ahead.
Okay, I'll say it. Big Lou and term provider could get a 50-year-old man, a little dinged up, $1 million in life insurance for around $200 a month.
Call Big Lou.
Big Lou.
He's like you. 800-555-2085. That's 800-555-2085.
Don't put it off. If you're overweight, diabetic, have high blood pressure, you gotta call Big Lou.
Gotta. 800-555-2085.
Write it down.
800-555-2085.
More disturbing news about the coronavirus coming out of Iran.
An Iranian doctor says hundreds have died and thousands have been sickened from ingesting toxic methanol across the Islamic Republic out of the false belief it kills the new coronavirus. Messages forwarded through social media about using alcohol-based hand sanitizer somehow saw people seek out bootleg liquor in Iran. Some bootleggers sell methanol, which is toxic. As of now, there's no known cure for COVID-19, the illness caused by the virus. Scientists and doctors continue to study the virus and search for effective medicines and a vaccine. Keith Peters reporting.
The NCAA Division I Council is scheduled to vote on Monday whether to provide another year of eligibility to spring sport athletes. That includes sports like baseball, softball, and lacrosse. Those players had their seasons wiped out by the coronavirus pandemic. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. The government's turning to a public-private partnership to continue feeding children after the pandemic forces school closures around the country. Here's correspondent Tim McGuire with more details.
The Agriculture Department is teaming up with McLane Global Logistics to put together meal kits that will be delivered directly to the homes of children across the country, many of them in rural areas. The kits will contain meals that last 2 weeks. Panera Bread has a pilot program in one state to help feed children with the hopes of quickly expanding it. CEO Niran Chowdhury.
Freshly prepared,
wholesome meals to children in the entire state of Ohio to begin with.
School districts have been looking for ways to continue feeding the students. Some are delivering breakfast and lunch by school bus, while others are asking families to pick up the meals at district sites. Tim McGuire, Washington.
More on these stories at townhall.com. From Washington, I'm Bob Agnew.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
This is the best of Battlefield Expressions.
And it's the glory, 100 stripes, 100 stories. It's the pledge of allegiance on the 4th of July. It's them handwritten letters from home. It's them sleepless nights alone. It's his newborn baby he left with his wife. Mr. Red, White, and Blue, lay down his line. Mr. Red, White,
good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. This is Senior Chief Rob Burrows. I am your host this morning. You're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio show. And the phone number here once again is 605-4567. That's 605-4567 if you want to call in and you have a question. My guest this hour is Steve Morgan. He is the sitting District 4 Supervisor for Shasta Lake City, and he is a Navy veteran. And we are going to talk about his veteran service here in our community and where he served and the time frame during the Vietnam War and what he has brought to our community as a veteran and how important it is for his Navy duty, how it influences his life and his decision-making process here in our community as a veteran. And so before we talk to you, Steve, good morning.
Good morning, Rob.
I want to bring up a quick speech by the Redding City Mayor, Adam McElvain. And he talks about some positive things going on here in our community versus some things that other individuals are saying out there on the ads. And I want to expound a little bit on some of those things.
Okay.
So right now we're going to listen to a New Year's speech by Adam McElvain on Redding 2020.
Good evening, Redding. In the spirit of the holidays and new beginnings, I thought I'd take a minute or two tonight to sit down and have a chat. 10 years ago, the city was in rough shape. Unemployment was on the rise. Layoffs were common. We had to reduce... Good evening, Redding.
Oh, we restarted.
In the spirit of the holidays and new beginnings, I thought I'd take a minute or two tonight to sit down and have a chat. 10 years ago, the city was in rough shape. Unemployment was on the rise. Layoffs were common. We had to reduce our police and fire forces to keep the city afloat, and then the state started releasing thousands of prisoners early. It hasn't been easy for any of us, but today we're starting to make real progress. Unemployment in Redding is the lowest on record. Our downtown is beginning to sprout up like we've never seen before, and hundreds of millions of dollars of investment are pouring in across the city. We have more firefighters today than we've had in the history of Redding. We've made significant steps towards fully rebuilding our police department, and total crimes have dropped the last 3 years in a row. Even with these gains, public safety is still my primary concern, and we still have a lot of work to do. We have headwinds, no doubt, but we are facing those headwinds stronger than we've been in a long time. The car fire was devastating for our community and felt by everyone, but I'm proud to say well over 50% of the homes lost in Redding are already rebuilding. Every citizen wants an honest and hardworking mayor. And the truth is, I've been working hard for years preparing to be our mayor in 2020. The most common question I get is people asking how they can help me. The best thing you can do to help me is to keep doing what you're doing to push Redding forward.
You're listening to Battlefield Expressions, and we were just listening to the New Year's speech that was given by the new incoming mayor for the city of Reading, Adam McElvain. And Adam is an Air Force veteran also, and he brings to the table just a myriad of leadership and capabilities to our community. And our guest this morning is Steve Morgan. Once again, he is the sitting supervisor for District 4 in Shasta Lake City, a Navy veteran during Vietnam, and then also served after that time frame with military commercial organizations working with the military and submarine service. And so good morning, Steve. Thank you for being here with us. We spotlight on a veteran in our community as a leader.
Well, thank you, Senior Chief. It's a real pleasure to be here this morning, even on this cold, dreary morning. But, you know, listen to Adam. He's got the same values that I do: trust, integrity, and commitment. And these were learned a long time ago, over 50 years ago, when I joined the subservice. In fact, when I joined the military. That was a strange story. I can expand on that later on. But, you know, being in the service, it teaches you these three core values. It's so important, because when you're on submarines, you better have some trust, you better have some integrity, and you better have some commitment. Because if you get in trouble and your brother sailor, he's not on the same page that you are, boy, are you in trouble.
Well, there's no place to hide when you're – what's the deepest that you've ever submerged, and also what's the longest you've ever been submerged with the service of the Navy and the submarine service?
Over 24 hours. And let me tell you, the oxygen gets awful thin, especially when you're down there, until you can get back up to the surface and put up the snorkel. The snorkel, what it does is it breaks the surface when you're submerged, and it gives air into the boat, and it also gives air to the diesel engine so that you can run them and charge your batteries at the same time. But, boy, it gets to a point where you can't even smoke a cigarette. You're huffing and puffing and whatever, and then you light up a cigarette, and you can't hardly light it, and it's kind of comical.
Well, that's really going back when you talk about smoking on a subsurface vehicle or vessel like a submarine.
Yes.
I mean you wouldn't even hear of anything like that nowadays.
No.
And then, especially with the nuclear subs, you were a diesel sub sailor.
Right.
And that's not old school. That's original school.
That's original
school. That's right. You can't say that's old school. That's the original school when you were working on those diesel submarines.
Right. And I served on a fairly new diesel boat, and the hull thickness was 15 sixteenths of an inch.
Wow.
It wasn't like the old boats where they were riveted together, all the plates. So I considered myself a new diesel boat sailor.
15 sixteenths, so just less than an inch in thickness.
That's correct.
That's still not a whole lot when you have the pressure of the ocean and
that's
the possibility of some enemy's attack, whether it be a mine or a torpedo or even 50 caliber bullets coming piercing if you're on the surface of the water or 20 millimeter.
True. Yeah. Well, like when we were down in Australia, we ran ops with the Australian Navy. And what we did is we were the target and let them find us. And they threw miniature dynamite sticks down in the water. And, boy, you could tell when they were going along. And they found us all the time. But we had to do that. They had to have their training, and we had to be the goat.
The guinea pig.
Yeah. So it was interesting. You know, the life of a boat sailor, you depend so much on your brother. I've got your back, you got my back, and it's...
How many personnel were on the diesel sub?
About 85. It depends on the mission you were out there.
And so you have a commanding officer, an executive officer, a chief of the boat, which is the COB.
That's correct.
And then the rest were enlisted?
That's right. But we had, you know, it was various personnel. But to qualify for your Dolphins, you had to be able to qualify on every item on that boat. So in case of an emergency, you could take over.
And when you refer to your Dolphins, that's your combat warfare badge. So, I mean, that's what we call it now.
Yeah.
But those Dolphins meant that you were a specialist in the entire divisions on the boat or the submarine.
That's correct.
Like you said, so if somebody went down, you could step up and fill that position.
That's correct. Because there's one time when I had to turn in as a helmsman because of an accident that happened.
Well, we're going to be taking our break in just a second. We're talking with Steve Morgan, a Navy veteran, submarine veteran here in our community that's also a leader in our civic responsibilities of Shasta Lake City District 4. We'll be right back.
Thank you. Alan Gordon here, Coach Master Collision. In our 50 years in business, we've met many interesting people. One customer complained the car pulled hard to the right. When I inspected the car, I noticed a small bag of rocks tied to the left side of her steering wheel. The customer stated that on long trips, the rocks would counteract the pull. Problem solved. Only temporarily, though. The pull was easily repaired with suspension adjustments and a wheel alignment, despite being told by another shop the vehicle had major frame problems. Having confidence and trust in the professionalism of who is repairing your vehicle is sometimes the greatest struggle. When this customer has a problem with her car, she calls Coachmaster. If the issue isn't our specialty, I'm glad to recommend the best qualified company. After all, this is my customer. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
The Reading Civic Auditorium brings a wide variety of shows to the North State. Go to ReadingCivic.com and join their mailing list for free. Get early access to tickets and first dibs on the best seats in the house. Grab a drink with friends at the fully stocked bar or locally roasted coffee. Snacks and other beverages at the River Rock Cafe. Enjoy lidded beverages throughout the auditorium at every show. If you want to know about the best concerts coming to the North State, go to ReadingCivic.com to learn more.
Wind River Resort and Casino invite you to come explore our exciting table games to see what California's premier gaming experience is all about. Our knowledgeable, friendly dealers provide premier gaming action 24 hours a day. With 13 table games and a variety of limits for players at every level, we'll make each gaming experience better than your last. More games, more ways to win, more fun. No one else in town offers this. All the table games details at WindRiver.com. You win at Wind River Resort and Casino.
For over 45 years, Clyde's Home Entertainment is the place people turn to for locally owned expert advice on electronics that turn your home into a theater. Clyde's goes the extra mile for their customers. They have a huge selection of audio and video accessories and equipment. Whether it's the latest 4K television or a hard-to-find accessory, Clyde's is the place for all your home electronic needs. Clyde's is a full-service dealer for Samsung, Klipsch, Yamaha, LG, and more. They offer full-service Dish Network. Be sure to ask about the current monthly specials. The original, and still the best, Clyde's Enterprises, 1250 Hartnell and Reading. They have it all. 221-4144. That's 221-4144. Clyde's.
This is the best of Battlefield Expressions.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. This is Senior Chief Rob Burrows. I am your host this morning, and our guest this morning is Steve Morgan. Steve Morgan is a Navy submarine veteran. He lives here in our community, and he is also one of our community civic leaders. He is the supervisor for District 4, Shasta Lake City. And so this morning we're talking about your naval service and your submarine service to our nation, mm-hmm. and then how that translates back here to our community. We were just talking about when you were under sea, submerged, and you're talking about the oxygen and different things like that. What were some of the fears as a submarine sailor when you first joined as a submarine sailor? I know that all submarine veterans are volunteer.
That's correct.
Submarine veterans are not told that they have to serve there.
No.
The service is open to those who choose to serve in volunteer
correct.
Service. So you know that there's a great amount of danger. You know that there's always an opportunity for mechanical failure or anything else because of other submarines that were lost in history because of those items. And so as a young man, as you're a sailor and you're coming into your service in the submarine service, tell us a little bit about that, those first experiences and what it took to overcome those.
Well, a lot of it has to do with if a submarine is lost at sea, how deep it may be, because at that time we really didn't have a program to rescue a submarine.
And what was the time frame on that?
Well, it was down about the 60s, late 70s, somewhere in that vicinity. We didn't really have the deep submergent rescue vessels that rode the fast attack boats. They were just starting to develop them. We had some deep submergent rescue vessels, not rescue vessels, but vessels that went down and looked at the ocean floor and kind of research type of thing, but we really didn't have too much. The first really came out was the back in the Squalus, and they were able to rescue some of those folks, but that was quite a few years ago. I think that was back in the 40s, 40s, 50s, somewhere in that time frame. We've come a long way in that. We have developed gear that if you're only, say, 300-400 feet, that you can get back to the surface. But they're called hoods. And
is that a Munson lung?
No. Well, you could use a Munson lung, but that they don't use that anymore. They use
that was the first technology.
Yeah, they use a complete suit that you can dress in, and I just saw pictures of that. But when I went out, it was just a hood that went over your head, and they filled it full of air, and you went up to the surface saying, ho, 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 because if you stopped breathing, your lungs would go,
yeah, I mean, kaput. The bends and the explosion of the internal organs, I mean, yeah, because you're so deep, depending upon how deep you were.
But that was the fun type. You know, they had the tower over in Pearl Harbor, and they had the deep depth one, and you went through the shallow one first, and then they asked if you'd like to go through the deeper one, and I said, yeah, sure, this is fun. You know, little fun type things, but you're in the back of your mind, you're always worried about, hey, what may happen? What may happen? But we carried rescue buoys, where if we were on the bottom, we could release them, they'd go to the surface, and they had sound-powered phones on there where they could talk to you, and find out where you're at and what was happening. So that was one of the things that, you know, they could take care of you.
It probably put a rescue beacon out too, didn't it? So they knew where you're located.
Yeah, well, that was a little bit later, but you could do that, yeah, yeah. But, you know, those were a few of the fears. And then, you know, there was other fears of torpedoes. You know, there was World War II. You had a lot of torpedoes that came back and circled back, and they killed a couple boats.
Yes,
that way.
The entire team, the crew was lost.
Yeah, and they're not sure how many of it was, but a lot of them was the Japanese and that, and mistakes that people made, and they got their boat sunk along with the whole cruise. But most of it, you know, and if you had claustrophobia, you didn't belong on the submarine, you know.
I can just imagine, especially those tight quarters.
Right.
Well, what was the boat that you were located on, that you served on? Which boat did you serve on?
Madrigal.
So what was the difference between that boat and the Pompaneo that's down there in San Francisco?
Just about the same. Just about the same. So we're a little different configuration, but not much.
We're working with Jim Gibson in the Submarine Cuttlefish group with you guys.
Wonderful man.
Invited me to be part of your group to go down and to spend the night on the Pompaneo. And, you know, I'm 6'2". And so, you know, we're going through these hatches and being in there. Everything is shoulder width for me.
Yep.
And so it would have been pretty tight for me to serve on a World War II submarine.
It would have been. But we only had one tall guy on our thing, and he was an engineman. And every once in a while, he'd forget where he was going through the hatch. And he wore a lot of bandages on the top of his head.
That's right. He didn't wear a hard hat or something to help. Well, he probably would have gotten made fun of because he wasn't man enough. But
that's true.
That's taking it pretty tough on the noggin.
Yeah. But Pompanito was a great little submarine. The first one I really trained on was the Sunfish.
Okay.
And that was located on Mare Island, Vallejo side. And then sooner or later, the reserve unit went over to Maryland Shipyard. They took over the paint shop, the old paint shop, and then they got the Pompanito. And they took the batteries out of there and filled it full of rock. But everything else worked on the boat, and you got to go down, and you got to try the gear out, run it, and test everything out, and it was a lot of fun.
If you ever down in San Francisco, you go down on the pier down there, the Pompaneo is still there to be able to go down and tour through, walk through that Pompaneo, and what a great opportunity to see a piece of history.
Absolutely.
We're going to take a quick break here. We're going to play a song, The Big Black Submarine, and then we'll come back and talk some more.
Okay, great.
Dive, dive. Take her deep and take her down, where no other human being can be found. Below the surface where it's dark and green, down to the sea in a big black submarine.
the wife and the kids behind. Most other people say I've lost my mind. Can't see the sun and I can't see the sky. But it's my life and I don't know why. So take her deep and take her down, where no other human being can be found. Below the surface where it's dark and green, down to the sea in a big black submarine. The silver dolphins that I proudly wear remind me that I'm among the few who care. Out on patrol and loaded for bear, and when it comes my time, well, I've done my share. So take her deep and take her down, where no other human being can be found. Below the surface where it's dark and green, and down to the sea in a big black submarine. In a big black submarine.
You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. This is Senior Chief Rob Burrows, and my guest is Steve Morgan. And Steve is a Navy veteran, submarine veteran. And there's a difference between calling you a fleet veteran and a submarine veteran and a Navy Seabee veteran and a Special Forces veteran.
Right.
You have your own terminology, and during World War II, they called you bubbleheads. And,
no, that was the nukes.
Oh, those are the nukes of the bubbleheads.
Right, right. Okay, we were sewer boats.
Sewer boats. Okay. Well, when I was in the Seabees, we had guys that came in off of some of the nuke boats, and we called them bubbleheads.
Right.
I just thought that was a term of endearment for all submarine veterans.
No. Just for the nukes. For the nukes.
But, all right.
You know, Rob, I really appreciate this time on here to talk about a little bit about my time in Vietnam. And this word Vietnam veteran is so important today. When I got out of the service at Travis Air Force Base, I couldn't wear my uniform. I had to wear civilian clothes. We had to go through a mob of protesters and whatever. But I went back to the shipyard where I started before I got into the USNR. And I was so proud to be able to help build the boats that went back to sea that through the Cold War.
Right.
And that.
Well,
and
a lot of veterans didn't think being in the Cold War meant anything. But being in the Cold War meant everything during that. It just wasn't talked about because it was top secret, a lot of it.
It was. It was a lot of it. But a lot of it's been brought out. But I was so proud to be able to work on these boats. And later on, I worked in the navigation shop, and I worked on the navigation gear on all these different fast attacks boats or the FBMs, fleet ballistic missile boats. And that's another story, too. But I was able to go out on sea trials once I got my journeyman status up in the navigation shop and take these boats out to sea. And sometimes I would be out there for a whole month testing out my systems and this and that.
Wow.
And the one that I always think about is we were in control of the automatic steering and driving on the submarines. And part of the test was to put these boats in a fast mode and do some left turns, right turns, port starboard and that type of thing. And the captain would look at you like, on my boat, you're going to do that?
Right.
Yes, sir. It's only be for a couple seconds.
Yeah, because he wanted to have full control of that.
Yes, he would. Yes, he would. He'd stand right behind you and say, okay, well, do it and let's see what you do, you know, type thing. But
right.
It was so rewarding, though. But most of my work at the shipyard was on boats, either nukes or fast attacks, you know, type of things.
That's where part of that trust factor came back in.
Yes, it did.
Because you're doing a brand new system on a ship or a boat that normally needed to have hands-on.
Right.
And now it was going into the new system at that time
right.
that were just being first developed.
Yeah, and it was my commitment to make sure that when we went to sea, we wouldn't have any problems. Every once in a while, you would have something that go out. You know, that's going to be normal. But, you know, we were in charge of depth, the automatic steering, navigation systems, you know, the compass going to point in which directions. And then later on, I got to go on nuclear-powered cruiser, the Long Beach.
Oh, wow.
And that was fun. That was fun. That was a whole different story there. So,
well, in a minute, we'll be coming back, and we'll talk about the size of those submarines that you were working on with the nuclear subs versus what the diesel size looked like.
Oh.
And so you're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
Orchard Nutrition Center asks, what does it mean to be local?
It's the Little League baseball team. It's a smile and away from a neighbor you've known for years, helping out a stranger just because it's the right thing to do.
It's a lot like Orchard Nutrition Center, caring about the people and the community that you call home.
Orchard Nutrition Center, since 1982.
We are all in it together.
Alan Gordon here, Coach Master Collision. In our 50 years in business, we've met many interesting people. One customer complained the car pulled hard to the right. When I inspected the car, I noticed a small bag of rocks tied to the left side of her steering wheel. The customer stated that on long trips, the rocks would counteract the pull. Problem solved. Only temporarily, though. The pull was easily repaired with suspension adjustments and a wheel alignment. Despite being told by another shop, the vehicle had major frame problems. Having confidence and trust in the professionalism of who is repairing your vehicle is sometimes the greatest struggle. When this customer has a problem with her car, she calls Coachmaster. If the issue isn't our specialty, I'm glad to recommend the best qualified company. After all, this is my customer. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on East Side Road, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. If you're 50 or older, now is the time to schedule this life-saving test. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%, so stop making excuses and get screened. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
Hello, I'm Carlene Niver, and I would like to personally thank you for your support while we celebrate over 4 years of business at Carlene's Restaurant and Bar. I'm so proud and excited to see our growth with loyal and new guests alike. Those of you who know me know that I love great food, but more importantly, I love to enjoy myself wherever I go. And that's what my dining team and I strive for when you walk into Carlene's. As the weather transitions, don't forget to book our banquet room for any of your upcoming holiday needs. We also offer outside catering for any occasion. Open 7 days a week, 4 p.m. to 9 p.m., 10 p.m. Friday and Saturday. Happy hour from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., located in downtown Reading on Center Street. A pinch of patience, a dash of kindness, and a spoonful of laughter make for the best dining experience. I look forward to celebrating over 4 years of business with you at Carlene's Restaurant and Bar.
This is the best of Battlefield Expressions.
Torpedo in the water and it's closing fast. Hips on a steady bear and headed straight down the stack. Kicker in the tail, boys, breaker back. Torpedo in the water and it's closing fast.
Good morning, you're listening to Battlefield Expressions. Our guest this morning is Navy submarine veteran Steve Morgan, who is also the current district supervisor for District 4. And so what a great opportunity to have you here this morning with us to talk about your service during Vietnam and talk about your service to the United States Navy. And I noticed in your bio here that you served at Treasure Island during that time frame. I served at Treasure Island during my time frame also. My father, during World War II, served at Treasure Island as a gunner school. And then I think you went to comm school there or served out of there. And I served Battalion 2, Naval Construction Battalion 2, out of Treasure Island.
No, what I was doing, I was waiting for a set of orders to go to a submarine there at Treasure Island. It was cold November, December.
Kind of like outside.
Yes, with the fog rolling in and the pea coat. It didn't do any good.
There was times that I pulled duty there on Treasure Island, and you could see the lights across the harbor. San Francisco was like just a jeweled city.
Yeah.
And right about 10:30, 11 o'clock, all of a sudden this bank of fog would come in, and you're standing duty out there, and all of a sudden you cannot see in front of your hands. It is so thick.
That's
and
true.
And it is freezing. All of a sudden it just brings that temperature in. The lights disappear,
yeah.
And now you're kind of out there wandering. If you don't know where you're at the time the fog rolls in, you can actually get lost.
That's an absolute trap.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when I went there, they had bunks that were three bunks high,
right.
You know, type of thing.
Sure. And it was transient. It was a transition area.
Yeah, it was.
Yes.
But it was good. But when I got my orders for the submarine, you know, it was overseas, so you had to go get your shots. And this was where they used the air guns.
Right.
And they shoot you in the arms, and by the end of the day, you couldn't even lift your arms with so many shots.
They were so tired.
Yeah. But anyway, I'd kind of like to get back. You know, I was born in Mare Island Naval Shipyard.
My father was a supply officer.
My mom had worked at the supply depot also, and my grandmother worked there. And so the Navy blood was infused in me because every job I had until I joined the Navy was working at the shipyard somehow, either the cafeteria or selling papers or whatever it may be. And it just one of those things that, hey, opportunity comes along to join the Navy. Yeah, let's go do that, because that was the year of the drafts.
Oh, okay.
And I had my draft card and everything else, and I was prepared if they called me up, okay, fine, I'll go in. But I had the chances. McKay, I think, was the chief's name, and he asked me if I'd like to join the reserves, and he gave me the increments of, what it involved and that type of thing and why I should join the reserves. And I thought, well, that makes a lot of sense. And so I did. And what happened was I kept trying to take tests for the apprenticeship. And then I got my orders for active duty, passed the test for apprenticeship, and said, oops, what do I do now? So I went and they wrote me a letter, the shipyard did, and they said, when you get off active duty, give us this letter back and we'll put you in as an apprenticeship.
Fantastic.
And that was, being able to use my veteran's status to get a little better position as a electrician. But I went in the Navy, I went in as an intercommunication electrician, and that really worked out nice because when I got out of my apprenticeship at the yard, I went into the navigation shop, and that fit me right in with what I had been doing and what I continued to do.
So when you were out to sea, what were some of your duties when you were out to sea?
My main duties was I was a forward messenger, and I got to talk to the captain and this and that. Here's your information from the Radio Shack and that type of thing.
Runner.
Wake up the guys for the next watch and that type of thing. Take a look at the compass, take the readings and whatever is needed.
How old were you then?
I was 22.
22. So you weren't just 19. I mean, you had a few years of experience on you by 22.
That's correct.
I mean, you think, okay, 22 doesn't have very much experience, but when it's crammed down your throat and it, every day is 24 hours a day of learning,
right.
22 is an old man.
Yeah, that's true. And we were on, we were on 12 hours on, 12 hours off, but it didn't make any difference. I mean, where are you going to go? There's nothing much to do.
Once you're on board, you're on board.
Yeah, you go stand your watch, you get something to eat, you go hit the rack. Then you get up, you have something to eat. You go back on watch. So, you can't go too many places, And you know when it's nighttime because you rig the ship for red, the boat for red.
Mm-hmm.
And other than that, daytime, it's white lights.
Right.
So it's an interesting thing.
Now, so comparing your diesel boat time frame to the nuke time frame, what was some of the great big differences that you noticed besides the size difference from a nuke boat to a diesel boat?
The biggest thing, I think, is they had showers.
Oh, all right.
You could take a shower.
A hot shower.
If you were out for 60 days, you didn't have showers. We used the showers for storage of equipment or garbage or whatever it may be. So if you wanted to take a little bit of a spit bath, you got a tin cup, a washcloth, put a little water in it, and kind of went around, wherever the areas you needed to go around.
Sure.
The water was for the diesel engines, for the batteries, and for cooking.
See, I think a lot of people understand the personal sacrifices in even something like that that men and women had. Actually, it was all men at that time that made on the submarine service.
Right. But I'll tell you another story. We were out in the Gulf of Tonkin, and we sallied up to a destroyer, and we decided we'd exchange a few people for crews. Well, our crew went over with bars of soap and towels to take a shower, and those guys came over, and they go, "Wow, how can you guys stand this?" We said, what are you talking about? Nothing wrong with the air.
Right.
You know,
you guys
thing.
Are used to foul air.
Yeah, but when the guys came back, they'd go, we said, "Oh, look at you sissies. Have to go take a shower."
We would be on field exercises with the Navy Seabees for 3 weeks at a time without showers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you could stand yourself when you haven't taken a shower for 3 weeks.
That's
but
correct.
As soon as you don't take a shower and everybody else has, or vice versa,
boy,
you smell like butt and there is no getting around it. No matter how much you wash, unless you were able to completely have a hot shower and wash all the sweat and salt and everything else off, it really does make a difference. One of the things I liken to your submarine service is when you're out and you're silent, you're running silent and deep. It was like when we were running convoys at night in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
We would leave Fallujah and we would drive for 135 miles at a time, upwards of 100 semi-trucks.
Yeah.
And we would, at times, we would be completely isolated away from everybody else. I mean, there was no military support from anybody for 10, 15, 25 miles or sometimes for 100 miles, depending upon the area that we were traveling at night.
Mm-hmm.
And being in charge and not having any radio communication, it was like being in a large submarine because you were responsible. I was responsible for everything going on.
Correct.
And I had to make those life and death decisions no matter what because we could not get communication from anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like being isolated out there with your men, with your cargo, with what had to be done in your mission. And it's the same with you when you're out there running quiet. And you're on a mission. I mean, you were there until you were given orders to go otherwise.
That's right. That's absolutely correct. And the only limit we had was the food. And you can only pack so much food. I mean, everybody had at least one case of food in their bunk.
Those are sea rations.
Well, some are sea rations. Some are just cans of food,
okay.
That type of thing. And then also the decks, they had one layer of case of whatever it may be, you know, and the fresh eggs and all the good stuff, they disappeared after the first couple of weeks. And, you know, the coffee was always going.
Right.
You never lost the coffee, you know, with a nice oil sheen on the top of it, you know.
Navy coffee.
Navy coffee.
That's right.
I mean, you have a cup of that, and, boy, you didn't worry about sleeping for a while.
Well, and here we're talking about the integrity of what it is. One teaspoon of motor oil or machine oil will destroy 500 gallons of fresh drinking water.
That's correct.
And so that's why it was so critical.
Yes.
That when you're talking about your potable water, your drinkable water, making sure that those standards were kept. I mean, when you're in a submarine and you're submerged like that, your standards aren't just standards anymore. Now they become life and death.
That's correct. And the main standard here was for the batteries. You had to have pure water for the batteries. We had our Beaver stills. They're 2,000 gallons a day stills. And that's it. That's all you had. And if they went down, you had a lot of trouble because you were down putting water in the batteries all the time to make sure that, because that's your lifeblood right there. That's
right.
How you propel yourself underwater. And on top, you didn't go topside too many times, you know.
Easy target.
If you're going from, we went from Australia up to the Philippines, okay, then we went on the surface. But once we got towards Vietnam, then it was submerged most of the time, except to come up once in a while to see what's going on. And that's about it.
So you had air scrubber systems on there because those batteries they off-gas acid, don't they? Or didn't they at that time? Or you just breathed that.
We didn't have scrubbers. We weren't like the nukes.
Okay, so only the nukes had the scrubbers then.
Yes, that's
correct. So you were breathing all of those?
Everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
Everything.
I mean, we're diesel fumes, cooking fumes, toilet fumes. They were supposedly going through a charcoal filter, but that charcoal filter only lasted so long.
Right.
There's a long story on that one, and that's
I'm sure that there is.
Part of your qualifications.
There's a lot of stories that just don't get translated that are part of that.
That's true. That's true.
We're going to we've got a song coming up. We're going to go ahead and take that real quick, and then we'll come right back and have our break.
Okay.
Thank you. Way back in the Cold War when the going got tough, we played a little game and called it Blind Man's Bluff. The U.S. and the Russians kept the action unseen. We played this game of chicken with our submarines. We sneak up on each other, steal the secret stuff. Muddied up the waters, called it Blind Man's Bluff. We're young and patriotic, and devil may care. The good guys and the bad guys made a deadly pair. We shadowed each other with antennas for ears. We were just a high-tech buccaneers. We could get the booty from the Soviet bear and bring it all together with a wing and a prayer. Blind Man's Bluff is not a childish game. Blind Man's Bluff can bring you fame or shame. A little bluff here or a little bluff there. Blind Man's Bluff could be a sailor's prayer. Back in 97 when the Cold War was through, pretty Sherry Sontag and Christopher Drew set out to tell the story of the fast boat nukes, intelligence collection and high-tech spooks. They wrote about the spec ops and the secret stuff, put it in a book and called it Blind Man's Bluff. Blind Man's Bluff is not a childish game. Blind Man's Bluff can bring you fame or shame. A little bluff here or a little bluff there. Blind Man's Bluff could be a sailor's prayer. Way back in the Cold War when the going got tough, we played a little game and called it Blind Man's Bluff. The U.S. and the Russians kept the action unseen. We played this game of chicken with our submarines. We sneak up on each other, steal the secret stuff. Muddied up the waters, called it Blind Man's Bluff. Blind Man's Bluff. Blind Man's. Blind Man's Bluff.
You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low-sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the comfy fit of a favorite pair of jeans and the tried and true performance of a new home comfort system from Rood. So here's to reliability built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has the chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
This is the best of Battlefield Expressions.
See on diesel boats, they call us Bubblehead. Our blood is laced with diesel smoke for sailors to the end. Our diesels wind through the salty brine until we take her deep. Then we turn her loose on battery juice, then we all go to sleep. Diesel boats forever. Hear the diving klaxons.
Good morning, you're listening to Battlefield Expressions, and diesel, you're listening to all these wonderful songs. They're talking about diesel submarines. Our guest is Steve Morgan. He is the supervisor for District 4 here in Shasta Lake City. And we're talking about his service to our country, his service in the United States Navy. And Steve, we're down to our last few minutes here in the program. I just want you to talk about how your Navy service and your honor, courage, and commitment with the United States Navy is translated into your service, your civic duty to here our community here in Northern California in Shasta County.
Thank you, Senior Chief. Like I said, trust, integrity, and commitment. You know, when I go to these different meetings, all the way up to Costella for a water board meeting, or up to Sugarloaf, which is in Lakehead, or I go to a community system district in Mountain Gate, I use these three things because I talk to the people, they talk to me, and I tell them, you can tell me what you need to have, or if you have a problem, give me a question or something like that. I will try to answer that question as best as I can. If I can't, I'll tell you I can't. And these people trust me because they believe in my word. A handshake, like in the old days, you didn't need a contract. Your handshake and your word were bonds. Bonds that a lot of people don't have today.
Well, integrity.
Integrity.
One of the things that veterans bring in all aspects is integrity. We right. have that at a greater aspect that's taught to us than anything else besides courage and commitment. But integrity is so important.
It is. It is, Rob. And, you know, I found that out as when I got out that the submarine service taught me those three things. And I've carried those through my whole life. And when I go to talk to people, I tell them, listen, I'm here for you. That's my job, is to be here with you, to listen to your phone calls, to answer your phone calls, whatever it's needed be, to be up and where you're at, to tell you that, hey, I'm interested in you, I'm interested in your area, and that type of thing. And, you know, I think that's so important today that people so much depend on the good old cell phone and emails and that type of thing.
Well, but sometimes even a good old boy program.
Well, yeah, that too. But I try to stay away from that. I believe in looking somebody face-to-face, looking to their eyes, talking to them face-to-face, visiting the different businesses and talking to the people and telling them who I am. And if you have any problem, give me a call. Here's my card. And go from there. And that's how I've done it. Through my whole experience from day one as a supervisor. And I think that's so important. I think that's a necessary ingredient to being a supervisor. It's not only how many times you can go rah, rah, rah and get your picture in the paper and so on and so forth. It's more important to the people that you're there for them. They know that.
I agree completely.
The only reason I'm running is because rerunning is because the people want me to be there again. They don't want somebody else in there. They want me in there. They trust me. They've encouraged me all the way from the county line all the way down to Northeast Reading. Those are my districts.
Well, and I think that as a veteran, you bring so many other things to the table that don't have to be talked about. They're just known because if you're a veteran in good standing,
yeah,
those items are just like the integrity aspect.
Right.
It just automatically comes back.
Well, I also, as I support the veterans at the same time, you know, I try to go to the different veterans museums, dinners, whatever it may be, and support the veterans, whether it's a couple bucks in the pocket of somebody or just going in and helping out and maybe handing out goods or whatever it may be. And the greatest, two of the greatest things I witnessed or was at was the opening of the IGO Veterans Cemetery. I was there for the opening ceremonies. That was
2003. With the governor, governor.
Yeah, that was something else. And then also I went down into Dixon, and that's a federal cemetery,
yes.
Veterans Cemetery. Mm-hmm. Went down there for Veterans Day. Very impressive.
I've done Navy services there also.
That is something else. I mean, you know, and
they're rebuilding that too. They're revamping it. It's enlarging.
Yeah, it's huge right now. I didn't realize how big something like that could be. And also is our IGO Veterans Cemetery. It's beautiful up there. And I've been up there for a few services and that type of thing. And I've also been to the new chapel. And it's heartwarming to see what's being done for the veterans today. And I'm trying to give back as much as I can to the veterans. Anything I can do while I'm a supervisor and, you know, further on.
Well, I don't think a lot of people know that you lost your house in a fire right there in Shasta Lake City a couple of years ago.
That's true.
So as people are rebuilding up there, you've already experienced what it's like to lose your home and all of your belongings. So you can directly relate to those who also have lost their homes and belongings.
Yes, absolutely. And I lost everything. I lost my original Dolphins. I lost my international date cards, shellback cards, golden shellback cards, and those type of things, and different type things that were mementos through my previous service.
Your naval career.
Yeah, it was. You know, I spent 12 years in the reserves, 2 years active duty, and, that was a big loss for me. But I've taken that information that I gained and experience and knowledge and applied it while I'm a supervisor.
Survivor.
I'm a survivor.
You're a survivor.
I guess. That's all I can say.
Right. Just like the other folks here in our counties that have lost their homes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you take it on the chin. It's tough. It's hard. It's rough. But you pick yourself up, and tomorrow's another day, and you continue to be successful in the community.
You don't sit back and, oh, woo's me type of thing. You know, you never want to do that. You always want to be on a positive note. You know, go out on a positive note. Go in on, you know, what you need to do. Talk to the people. Give them encouragement. Show them that you care for them. Listen to them. That's the important things. Don't send them an email. Go up and talk to these people. They appreciate that. You can't believe how much they do. You know, they say, wow, what are you doing here? I says, well, it's my job.
You're a real person, not just a name.
That's right. I'm not, you know, some phone call or whatever. You know, unless you call me and I'll call you back and then we'll come together and talk about it and see what we can do. So
is there anything else you'd like folks to know concerning your Navy duty that you served and that you bring in here to our community? And as we get ready to, the voting season comes up, that we want folks to know that, you know, you are an integral part of our community. You're a stand-up veteran that helps support and take care of those who are less fortunate. Mm-hmm. And you have personally suffered loss through the fire, just like so many in our community have
That's
done.
Correct.
And you continue to lead. You continue to set the example, and you continue to encourage people through this process of rebuilding Shasta Lake City and rebuilding Shasta County,
right?
So that we can become a better city, a better county, a better organization.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's important for our community to support each other in a positive manner. And before we get right to the last second, I just want to say thank you for your service. You know, veterans like yourself who went before me helped set that example. They set that heritage, that naval heritage. And even though I was a Seabee, which is a dirt sailor, I never served under the water or on top of the water. They flew us directly into the combat. But mm-hmm. individuals like you in our community are leaders, and I look to you for examples in my own life serving in the community.
Well, I'm looking forward to another 4 years, Rob. And I think the voters will agree with me that I can help them out in the next 4 years. We've got a lot of things on our plate that we need to get accomplished, and I've accomplished a lot in my 4 years, and I'll have a lot more to accomplish in another 4 years. So I ask for your vote.
Well, I live in Tehama County, so my vote doesn't count, but obviously the votes to those here in Shasta County and Shasta Lake City.
Right.
Thank you for being here. Thank you for your service, and thank you for serving our community.
Thank you, Senior Chief.
You're welcome.
Out of the cold winter of 1775, there rose a swirling mist. This formless haze.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.